There are four scriptures I would like to read. First of all, the book of Leviticus, chapter 24. The book of Leviticus, chapter 24. Verse number 10. And the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp, and the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him to Moses, and his mother's name was Shelemeth, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan, and they put him in ward. And then the last verse tells us that he was stoned with stones. Now 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And verse number 4. Absalom said, moreover, O that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And then we have him going to Hebron, verse 9. And the king, that is David, said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then shall you say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And we have the men going after him in their simplicity. Verse 11. Now, the gospel according to Matthew chapter 20. Verse number 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him, and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. And if I can trouble you to turn back to Psalm 122 for the final reading. Psalm 122. Verse number 6. It's the lovely psalm beginning, glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. I can observe the time, and I can assure you there'll be a good sizable portion of the time for some of the visiting or other brethren whom we want to hear. In the Bible reading earlier today, the meeting was concluded with a great thought of peace, the Lord of peace, giving his people peace at all times. We have heard about faithfulness and about food, and I would like, in a way that I hope will be compatible with what we have listened to, I would like to say a little bit about peace, just from these scriptures that we have read. The word shalom is one of the most beautiful and heavily laden words in the ancient language of the Old Testament. As the Old Testament uses the word peace, it's much more than just the cessation of war. It's much more than the absence of hostilities. The word shalom is a word that refers to that completeness, those properly adjusted relationships, that fullness of life. Sometimes it can refer to health. Sometimes it can refer to well-being. Sometimes it can refer to prosperity. Shalom in the Old Testament conjured up to the mind of an ancient Hebrew the sum total of all the good which any heart could desire, and the sum total of all the good which God desires human beings to enjoy. Now I think that one of the most precious possessions of any assembly is shalom. We love to have food. We appreciate every believer where faithfulness is exhibited in his or her life. And it's a precious thing just to have peace and scriptural prosperity. Unfortunately, too often it eludes us. Very quickly, peace can be disturbed. Things can happen that disrupt it. Very many things can happen that would set believers that should be properly adjusted, can set them at sixes and sevens with each other. And I want to mention a number of things just now, and I hope it won't be negative. There's no sting in the tail. I'm not doing it with a hidden agenda. Nothing like that. I want to mention a number of things that would have the potential to upset the peace of the assembly and to reduce its prosperity, its shalom. Given the fact that this was such a beautiful word and such a favorite word and amongst the ancient Hebrews, it's no surprise to us that it was a very, very common word employed in the choosing of personal name. I suppose the best known name to us is the name Solomon. He was the child of peace. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 9, God tells David, he said, I've given you a son called Solomon, and in his days there shall be quietness and peace in Israel. Solomon, the son of Shalom. However, although there were people who had Shalom in their name, they didn't always have it in their character. I want to think about a lady called Shelemeth. I want to think about a boy called Absalom. And I want to think about another lady called Salome. Oh, you say they'll all be peaceful persons. They'll all make a great contribution. And what they do will be always good because they have got peace in their very name. And I hope in their... Well, this lady Shalom, mind you, I'm in an awkward position now because if I did have the 40 minutes that are left, I could spend easily 30 of them speaking about the good things of this lady. One of the great ladies of the New Testament. If you had been at the cross when many other folks were missing, she was there. If you had gone to the tomb on that early morning and the crowd was by no means big, she was there. As far as I know, she was the only lady that ever gave two sons to the apostolic band. We couldn't think about this person without thinking about her in the highest terms of commendation. But there was one day that even though her name means peace, indeed it's maybe the feminine form of Solomon in the Old Testament, even though her name means peace, she did a something that just had the potential to cause a few ripples of trouble. She came to the Lord Jesus. She said, Lord, these two boys of mine, she says, would you give them special places? Would you give them preferential treatment? My James and my John, they have done well, you know. Peter's a bit of a competitor, but since you took the three of them up the mountain and they came back down again, that Peter fellow's made a couple of bad blunders. But John and James, they're just doing very well, and they're doing very good, and would you give them special place? Now, I don't want to be too hard on her. Another gospel says they did it. Well, I don't think she was too hard to persuade to put in a special plea. And when she did it, it says the others were full of indignation. There was a ripple of trouble went through the apostolic band, and I imagine they were a bit like herself. Because if you want to see a ripple of trouble, if two people get more place than the rest, I tell you, it'll be a recipe for a few things. Now, all I want to say is this. I leave that story. Why was she asking preferential treatment for her two boys? Now, I think, and I also know Mr. McShane thinks this, so that gives me a wee bit more courage just now. I couldn't prove it 100% beyond dispute, but he has put it in print, and our brother Higgins has published it. So I'm really safe now. And it is this. That it is a very fair deduction that Salome was a sister of Mary, the Lord's mother. And she thought maybe a wee bit of a family thing. And it had the potential to cause trouble. All I'll say is this, dear, but if you want to cause trouble in the assembly, show preferential treatment to certain families. Allow decisions And if we talk about promotions in the assembly, forgive us for a minute, if we talk about promotions, allow those promotions to be dictated by natural relationship rather than spiritual qualification. And I tell you, you will begin to let shalom out of the window. But I say nothing more, for I better keep trust with the clock and with my prophet. What about this boy called Absalom? Well, indeed, I was going to say, there's another lady not mentioned in the New Testament, but history tells us well that she was called Salome. And if ever there was a troublemaker, she was a trouble. She did a very unbecoming dance one day, and with her wretched mother, a girl whose name meant peaceful, she ended up with the head of John the Baptist on a charger. Some peace that. This boy, Absalom, it wasn't so much natural affection, it was carnal ambition. Now, Absalom wanted a place which God never intended for him. And he was prepared to overturn his father's government in order to get it. As far as I can see from the reading of 2 Samuel, the last word that David ever spoke to Absalom was this: Shalom. He says, Daddy, I want to go for a special meeting at Hebron. David said, Shalom. When the two messengers came back and they were panting to give the message about the battle to the king, David said, Gentlemen, tell me, is the young man Absalom Shalom? Is the young man Absalom safe? That's the word, Shalom. And of course you know the story. His name means my father is peace. And I think I can say with a fair degree of confidence, this world has scarcely ever seen a greater son of trouble than this boy. Now, to get support for his conspiracy, he was willing to work behind the scenes. He said, David's not giving you a fair deal. He said, if you put me in, he said, I'll give everybody exactly what they want. He said, and he made a big fuss of people, and he worked behind the scenes, and he curried favor, and he gathered a little bit of a conspiracy. Then he staged a coup. All I say is this, dear brother, and I hope I'll take the message as well. If you're not content with your position in the assembly, don't you be going behind the scenes to try and get favor for your cause. Don't be starting a conspiracy. Don't be dabbling in underhand methods. And you would say, if I can touch up enough people, and if I can make the group big enough, I'll be able to overturn things at the top, and I'll get my way. You see, those are Absalom tactics. We can hardly think. You look at the end of the story, and I'm going to leave it. You look at the end of the story. I think, if my memory serves me right, there are something like 20,000 men lying dead in the wood of Ephraim. One man's carnal ambition, it split a family. It divided a kingdom. And it left 20,000 casualties on the floor of the desert. He got lost in the wood. You know, most people that go for a position they're not fit to fill, that's what happens to them. They get lost in the wood. And he got hung up by the head, and the royal mule went on. I think he loved to stage with all the trappings of royalty, and driving and riding about on the royal mule, it suited Absalom well. You know, he could take the symbol of royalty, but he couldn't properly use the power. And when he's hung up by the head, lost in the wood, the mule goes on, as much as to say the kingdom's going to go back to where it belongs. But the son of peace by name was a man of trouble by nature, and by his craft and his conceit and his conspiracy and his discontent, I say again, he broke his father's heart and he left a stain upon the kingdom that we talk about to the present day. May God preserve us from underhand methods. You know all that could be said, and I just leave this. Back to Leviticus 24. There's a lady called Shalomith. Here's another Shalom person. Now, what happened was this. She had a boy. And we're told about this boy that he went out and he plucked a straw. He started a fight in the camp. You say, what? And his mother's name was Shelemeth. And Shelemeth's son started the fight with an Israelite. And as the fight and the strife became a little bit more severe, this lady Shelemeth's son, he blasphemed the name of the Lord. And the end of that story was like Absalom's. It was a boy that had potential lying dead beneath a heap of stone. But Leviticus 24 takes us further back. It tells us that the problem really started because this lady Shelemeth, she married an Egyptian. Now, I don't believe for one minute. I wouldn't say she was a bad woman in the sense of no appreciation of spiritual things, but she never dreamt, I'm quite sure, the day that she married that Egyptian, she never dreamt that the result of this association will be that I'll produce something that will bring blasphemy into the camp of the Lord. It took a number of years for this unholy alliance to be seen for what it really was. I think the boy had grown up, but this fruit and this trouble in the camp was all the direct result. She put herself under the headship of an Egyptian. Some of her brethren have been speaking to younger folks, not just so many of them here today. I know many of them have commitments. Some are here. Some will be leaving this conference, Lauren, time of the year, and will be going away to universities and so on. Can I say to you, you'll be far away from the company of many Christians, and you'll be far away at times from the eye of parents and overseers, especially you younger people with many temptations. Can I plead with you, you be very careful about your association, because you could make a connection and you could make association with some Egyptian person. It might seem to be good at the time, but it could be a recipe for bringing trouble, unexpected, in years to come. Shelemeth married an Egyptian man, produced a boy that blasphemed the name of the Lord and defiled the camp. Let us watch our natural affection. Let us watch our carnal ambition. Let us watch our careless association. Because with any one of these things, we could upset assembly shalom. Actually, it's in Leviticus 24. You say, so what? Yes, so what? You know, that chapter opens with the pure light of the golden lampstand. That chapter continues with the 12 loaves on the holy table. I'm inclined to think if this lady had appreciated the truth of those two things, she might never have done what she did. If she had appreciated the pure light of God's sanctuary, if she had appreciated the holy fellowship of God's people, those 12 loaves on one table, she might have been very careful about going away to marry an Egyptian. Let me say just, as I almost conclude, you know, we have sat for these days under the holy ministry of God's word, and we have listened to our brethren. May God send us away from the meeting with a sense of the dignity of holy Christian fellowship. And may we be preserved from any alliance that might do despite to that blessed concord. I have a final thing to say, because not only were there people who didn't live up to shalom in their names, but of course there is also a place that has shalom in its name. It's called Jerusalem, the city of peace. If ever there is a city in the world that hasn't really lived up to it, it must be this one. I know the historians debate about it, but some of them that have scanned through history tell us it has had as many as 34 sieges. How much blood has flowed on the streets, I will never know. How much sorrow there has been in that city. And to crown it all, we can say, where also our Lord was crucified. It's called Jerusalem, but it has been the city of trouble. Thank God there is a day coming soon when it will really be the city of peace. The Lord of peace will again come back as the King of peace, and it will really become the city of shalom. The last time he stood and looked across his precious buildings, the tears, they flowed down his face. And he said, I would love that you had known the things which belong to thy peace. He said, you are called the city of peace, but he said, you'll know nothing now but trouble, and it has been trodden under the feet of the Gentiles for centuries. Blessed be God, it will soon know peace beneath the pierced feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring peace. Is it no wonder it says in this beautiful psalm, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, you let me take this just with a little application. Apply it to the assembly. You know, I'll say this, brethren. A man that prays for the peace of the assembly, that kind of a man will be very reluctant to upset it. A man that really loves the value of the shalom of God's dwelling place, he'll not want to introduce anything that will be a breach. He'll not want to bring anything in his personality that will cause undue stress and tension. My little message is this, and I better stop and leave time for another good brother. May the Lord of peace give us peace at all times and by all means. May the Lord bless his word.